Now let's continue on with the Key of David, number one. Tremendous thing. What happens now when you have your heart fixed? Now we read how Jesus said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and being, right? So if your heart is fixed, how then are you seeking God? How is your relationship with God? How much do you derive from prayer and study? How much do you derive in being able to have this relationship with God? Well, let's see. Since we're here at Psalm 112, let's just go back to Psalm 111. Let's see how David responded to God and how God wants us to be. Now, remember, if we're repenting Laodiceans, which we all ought to be, you see, so that we can have the key of David and the heart of David, here's the solution to it. Verse 1, Psalm 111. Praise the Lord. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. No secret little sin cupboard left for you. That's been taken care of by the washing of the water of the Word. I will give thanks to you with my whole heart in the council of the upright and in the congregation. The works of the Lord are great, sought out by all those who have pleasure in them. And you find that right out of the Bible. You find that right into creation, whether it be the heavens, the earth, or the things in the sea under the earth. All of those are the works of God. And the greatest works of God is what God is doing in you. To write his laws and commandments in your heart and in your mind, to give you his love, to give you his hope, to give you his blessings. That's tremendous, isn't it? Yes. His work is glory and majesty, and his righteousness endures forever. That's what it's going to be with us too, isn't it? Yes, indeed. He has made a memorial for his wonderful works, and what is that memorial? The Sabbath, the holy days. Yes, indeed. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. That's why we can come to God anytime. Ask forgiveness, ask for his love, ask for his faith, ask for his hope, ask for his healing, ask for his intervention, ask for the cleansing of the Holy Spirit with the washing of the water by the Word. Verse 5, he has given food to those who fear him. He will always be mindful of his covenant. God never forgets his covenant. Remember, we're in the covenant of eternal life through Jesus Christ. He has declared to his people the power of his works in giving them the inheritance of the nations. And that's what the Feast of Tabernacles is all about. We're going to inherit the nations under Christ to rule over them, to bring them the love of God. Now, if they get out of hand, yes, we'll have the rod of iron. We can use that. But that will be administered in severe cases. Verse 7, the work of his hands are truth and justice. That's what God wants in us, truth and justice. See, we are the work of his hands. You go clear back to the forming of Adam and Eve. We're the work of his hands. And we're the extended work that God is doing continuously down through time and history. Every human being is a work of God. All his precepts are sure. They stand fast forever and ever. They are done in truth and uprightness. Notice how great this relationship of David was with God. This is the key of David. And here are the parts of it that we are going through, see? Number 3 is wholehearted. Wholehearted to God. Now notice what he says here in verse 9. And this is a prophecy of us. Notice. He sent redemption unto his people. He commanded his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. Or, as the margin says, reverend. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and a good understanding have all those who do his commandments. His praise endures forever. Fantastic, brethren. How do we approach God? Well, if we love God, if our hearts are fixed, we're going to approach him with the whole heart. That's quite a magnificent thing. Okay, let's come over here to Psalm 138. Psalm 138, we'll see again about being wholehearted. Psalm 138, let's begin here in verse 1. This is how we're to do it. We even have a song in the hymnal based on Psalm 138. But notice how great this is. See? Verse 1. I will praise you with my whole heart before the gods. I will sing praise to you. I will worship toward your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness and for your truth. For you have magnified above all your name and your word. Isn't that something? Your name and your word is magnified above all. In the day when I cried, you answered me and made me bold with strength in my soul. See, that's how you get rejuvenated. God's Spirit, God's Word. And remember, what did Jesus tell the apostles about his Word? He said, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. And you get from the pages of the Bible as you read something you cannot get out of any other book. You get that spirit and you get that life. Isn't that something? All right, let's go on. Let's see another one here being wholehearted. Psalm 119, back just a few pages here. Psalm 119. Let's pick it up here. Now, Psalm 119 and verse 10. With my whole heart, or all my heart, I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Now, notice what you do when you have your heart fixed, you love God, when you're wholehearted toward God. Notice, see, verse 11. Your word have I laid up in my heart, so that I might not sin against you. Then he says, verse 12, blessed are you, O Lord, teach me your statutes. Now there's something else that will happen. And this is the key to understanding the Bible and letting God's word speak to you. Now we find this down here in verse 18. And you, with this attitude and in studying the Bible, you will see this happen over and over again. Verse 18, open my eyes. And Paul prayed that the eyes of your mind may be opened. See? Now we can apply it with the full impact of God's Spirit. Open my eyes so that I may behold wondrous things out of your law, out of your whole word, out of the New Testament, out of everything that there is. You know, brethren, as it says here a little later, that all the commandments of God are worth more than gold, yea, than fine gold, more precious, see? And if we look at God's word that way and treat it that way and guard it that way as we're supposed to, and let it become a very part of our heart and minds and beings, just think how great that is going to be. All right. Now, number four. And you will see how all of these follow in sequence. Number four, you hunger and thirst for God. Let's come to Psalm 63. Now, Psalm 63 really tells us about the relationship that David had with God, having the ark right there in a tent in his house. Okay? Psalm 63. And this also tells us more about our relationship with God. Notice what it does to your whole being. Because, you see, the Word of God, the Spirit of God, they are health to us. Notice, verse 1, Psalm 63. This is one of my favorite psalms in all the psalms here. Okay? O God, you are my God, earnestly I will seek you. And it says we seek with the whole heart too, see. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you, as in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see your power and your glory as I have seen you in the sanctuary. So there's David before the tent, probably looking right through the veil of the tent there, and he could probably see an outline of the Spirit of God there, the Shekinah, the presence of God. As I've seen you in the sanctuary. How else can you explain it? Because the sanctuary was that little tent right in his house. David could not go to the temple and go to the Holy of Holies and do that. Now, isn't that something? Here we have, let's stop and think about this for a minute. David had access to the Ark of God in the tent for prayer, for study, for praise, for worship, every single day. However, the priest at the temple or the tabernacle, when the ark was in the Holy of Holies, he could only go in there once a year on the Day of Atonement. Isn't that amazing? All right, let's continue on here. Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you. Thus I will bless you as long as I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. My soul shall be satisfied with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. Notice how absolutely given to God that David was. That's the key of David. Notice how it affected his life. When I remember you upon my bed and meditate on you in the night watches. Wake up at night and think on God. Wake up at night and pray to God. Get up early in the morning at dawn and praise God. What a fantastic thing that was. See, and brethren, we have better than David had. We have God's Spirit, plus we can pray directly into the Holy of Holies in heaven above through Jesus Christ every single day with every single prayer. Verse 7, because you have been my help, therefore in the shadow of your wings I will rejoice. Now notice how absolutely and totally dedicated that David was to God. And remember where we started. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Now notice what he says here. Verse 8. My soul follows hard after you. That is his whole being. Your right hand upholds me. So that's the attitude that David had. He didn't worry about the enemies. God would take care of the enemies. All right. So number 4. He hungered and thirsted after God. What are we told in Matthew 5? Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. So notice how that carries over into the New Testament as well. Okay, number five, he understood human nature and the purpose of man. Isn't that something? All right. Now let's pick it up here. Let's see how he understood the nature of man. We'll get to the purpose of man, the ultimate destiny of man a little later. But number 5 is understanding the nature of man. And this is why we have to be using the Holy Spirit of God to keep us really humble. Because being humble and not being exalted in vanity and lust and jealousy and greed and all of those things, you see. That's an operation of the Holy Spirit of God. And that's an operation of your relationship with God. Now let's come back here to Psalm 39. Let's see how he understood it. Now, when he got involved with Bathsheba, He forgot this. So this is why, you see. This is why. Everything is day by day, and one of the most important things, and it's not the athletes that understand this, because what they always say is, well, they're interviewed, and someone asks them, well, what are you going to do? Say, well, I'm going to take it day by day. Well, that's actually a biblical principle, all right? Psalm 39, this is what we need to do. This is how we keep from sinning. This is how we overcome, you see. Verse 1, I said I will take heed to my ways so that I do not sin with my tongue. Now, with the new covenant, we are not to sin with our minds. I will keep my mouth with the bridle while the wicked are before me. Yes, even someone who doesn't speak is counted as intelligent because he doesn't make a mistake and a fool out of himself by speaking. I became dumb, keeping silence. I said, nothing good, yet my sorrow grew worse. My heart was hot within me while I was musing. The fire burned, then I spoke with my tongue. O Lord, make me to know my end and the measure of my days what it is, that I may know how short-lived I am. That's why I've asked people to hold their breath. See how long they can hold it. What's the longest you could hold your breath? Well, I suppose some of those who are trained, they could do it pretty close to 5 minutes, maybe a little bit more. But God made it so that you breathe. So you're going to have to breathe sooner or later. See? That reminds us of how weak the flesh really is and how dependent on God we are. See? O Lord, make me to know my end and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how short-lived I am. Behold, you made my days as a handbreadth. See, that's the humility in understanding human nature and in understanding that only God can help you overcome it. Now think of this. This is true. Can you overcome human nature with human nature? No. Even though there is the evil of human nature, you could use some of the good of human nature to overcome it temporarily, but it doesn't change the heart. So God wants the heart changed. Okay? Behold, you've made my days as a hand's breadth, and the span of my days is as nothing before you. Surely every man at his best state is altogether vanity. Selah. Now that means, think on this. Now if you don't believe that, if you don't believe how sinful man and woman really are, just do channel surfing through all how many ever channels you have from 25 to 250, whatever it may be. And you will see, just as Solomon wrote, vanity of vanities, all is vanity, and you will see sin, 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 sin. Yet the scripted reality of the world is everything is nice and happy and wonderful. If you just do this, or if you buy this car, or if you take this drug, or whatever you may do, and it completely avoids how evil that human nature is. And then you look at some of these destructive and war movies, and you see how ugly and vain it is. And you see some of these things where it's occult and demonism and spiritism. And you understand that Satan the devil has those people right in their grasp, right? Yes, indeed. All right, verse 6. Surely every man walks about in a vain show. Surely they're all in an uproar in vain. Boy, does that sound like Washington, D.C.? Yes, indeed. He heaps up riches and does not know who shall gather them. I'll tell you who's going to gather them. All the saints. God is going to give us the riches of this world. Let's go on. And now, Lord, what do I wait for? Seeing all of this, what am I going to do, Lord? What is my life when I understand this and how foolish and nonsensical it is? Verse 7 continued, he says, my hope is in you, not in self, not in vanity, not in deception, but in God. So then he says, Deliver me from all my transgressions, and make me not the reproach of the fool. I was dumb, I did not open my mouth, because you have done it. Then he talks about correction that's necessary. And sometimes we need correction because human nature needs to be corrected. It does not operate on its own good. We need to be corrected. We need to be changed. We need to be molded. We need to be reprogrammed. Okay? Remove your stroke away from me, verse 10. I am consumed by the blow of your hand. You correct a man for iniquity with rebukes, and you make his beauty to vanish away like a moth. Surely every man is vanity. So one of the keys of David, one of the keys of understanding the relationship with David, is to understand the futility of human nature and to understand the difficulties that we present to ourselves because of the evil that is within, and how much we need God, and how much we need the truth, and how much we need the righteousness of God every single day. All right, let's come here to Psalm 14. Here we see in the world, know what it is. This is what the world is in. This is what the world is built upon. And Satan has deceived the whole world. And how do some people think that they can leave and avoid God and get along in the world? You know, one of these days down the road, it's going to catch up with them. They're going to be like the five foolish virgins. The disasters are going to come, and they're going to say, oh, where is God? Oh, yes, I heard of this. Oh, I remember that when I was in the church. Oh, where's God? Where's the church? And it's going to be hard to find. I hope that they drop to their knees and repent. God will forgive them. But they've got to realize what they have done, because they live in a world that is based upon a rejection of God. That's why this psalm, Psalm 14, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt, they've done abominable works, and there is none that does good. And you look at what is happening in the world because people operate in secular states, that means God is not allowed. Do we have trouble? Do we have problems? Do we have difficulties? You sure know we do. Verse 2, the Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any who understood, who seek after God. That's why, brethren, it's so important that we remain true to God, that we follow the keys of David here, that we understand what human nature is like and what the world is like, and not be attracted to it in a way that it's going to pull us away from God. We can live in it. God isn't going to take us out of it, but he's going to keep us from the evil one, especially if we have the heart and mind and attitude and key of David. All right? All the workers of iniquity have no knowledge. Those who devour my people as men eat bread do not call upon the Lord. There they are in great fear, for God is with the generation of the righteous. That's us. God is with his people, not with this world. And we're going to see what this world is coming to. We know what it's going to be. All right. You have put to shame the counsel of the poor, but the Lord is his refuge. Oh, that the salvation of Israel were come out of Zion when the Lord turns away the captivity of his people. Jacob shall rejoice and Israel shall be glad. And that's why we're here. That's why the Feast of Tabernacles. All right, let's come over here to Psalm 12. Just go back a page. All right? Here's what we need to look at. Here's what God is going to do. That's why any allure and appeal of the world, though there may be pleasure in sin for a short season, it's all going to end in disaster. God says so. verse 12, Psalm 12, rather, not verse 12. Psalm 12 and verse 1. I love this verse. Help! Help, O Lord, for the godly man ceases, for the faithful disappear from among the children of men. What a perfect description of this world. They speak falsehood, each one with his neighbor. No one can tell the truth anymore. With flattering lips and a double heart they speak. Sounds like the politicians, right? Oh, what'll I speak to this group? Well, this group likes to hear this. Why don't you say that to them? Okay, blah, 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 blah. And what is this group like over here? Well, they like thus and such. Okay, blah, 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 blah. And the politicians go on and do exactly what they want to do. Same way with the religionist, you see? All right. Verse 3. And the Lord shall cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speaks proud things, who have said, with our tongue we shall prevail. Yes, indeed. Especially if you have a teleprompter, you'll be sensational. Our lips are our own, who is Lord over us. There's what the world is coming to. Verse 5. For the oppression of the poor, for the sighing of the needy, I will now arise, says the Lord. And that's going to take place with the Feast of Tabernacles. I will set him in safety from him who puffs at him. Now let's come down here. Let's just finish off this psalm because this is good. Compared to this. Now, that's why we take refuge in God, refuge in his word, refuge in the truth, and we love God, and we serve God, and we obey God. Now notice, in the middle of all of this that's going on in the world, verse 7, the words of the Lord are pure words, like silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. You shall keep them, O Lord. You shall preserve them from this generation forever. See? Words of God, never going to fail. Now here's verse 8, again, referring back to the description of this world. The wicked walk on every side when vileness is exalted among the sons of men. Quite a thing to understand, isn't it? Yes, indeed. Hey, that's just the way it is in the world today. Now let's come back here to Psalm 94. Psalm 94. Well, this sermon has been rather easy with all of the psalms, right? We haven't had to go too far in the Bible figuring out all of these things. And that's because all of these come from David and come from the heart of David and come from yielding to God and having that tabernacle right before him, right before him to go and to pray and to yield to God. So let's go ahead and we'll finish with this, Psalm 94, and let's pick it up here in verse 11. Again, it contrasts the vanity and the thoughts of men who don't have God compared to what God will do. Verse 11, the Lord knows the thoughts of man, that they are vanity. Now notice the difference here. Blessed is the man whom you chasten. And we need the correction too, don't we? Yes. O Lord, teach him out of your law. So not only do we love God, we love his law, we love his commandments, we love his word, we love his statutes, we love everything that God has done, okay? That you may give him rest from the days of trouble until the pit is dug for the wicked. For the Lord will not cast off his people, nor will he forsake his inheritance. But judgment shall return unto righteousness, and all the upright in heart shall follow it. There we go. Those are the keys of David. Relying on God to fight for him, relying on God to bless him, that he loved God. Number one, he was, his heart was fixed. Number two, number three, he's wholehearted, hungered and thirst after God and his way, and understood about human nature and what was in man. All right, well, tomorrow we're going to learn some more about the key of David and how that is important for us for today in growing and changing and overcoming. So continue making this the best feast possible. Rejoice with the brethren. Be with each other. Serve each other. Love God. Stay close to God. And we'll see you tomorrow. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.